Yes, in the last four Sundays, we've been going through the sermon series, The Road Signs. We all know how useful road signs are. It helps us to avoid danger on the road. It helps us with the direction of getting from point A to point B. It helps us with the decisions that we make along the way. And it helps us to plan well our journey ahead. But there's one thing that we know. There are three things we know that the road sign doesn't do. It doesn't guarantee that you will not have an accident on the road. We know it doesn't guarantee that your car will have a breakdown on the way. You know, the battery might go, or you have a flat tire on the way, or maybe somebody else don't read the road sign and run into the back of your car. And then, of course, things unplanned, and we find ourselves in these situations. You see, what is beyond the road signs are the unprecedented events, the unforeseeable circumstances in life that I would call the breaking down in life. We've all learned in the last couple of years what that means with the unprecedented events of COVID. And even though we think that we learned so much, experience only tells us that even now, that many of us still struggling to deal with the unforeseen, the events that's taking place throughout our lives this year. And if we are honest, many of us are tired from just even thinking about it. Many of us are tired from waiting and tired from planning. And for some of us, just don't feel like committing to do anything and just go with the flow and just wait. And for some of us, we're just getting tired of trying hard to achieve and to succeed in life. And then we go into a breakdown mode. And what usually happens is that when we find ourselves breaking down, we give up. We're going to be bothered. Our lives are kind of set back a little bit. We lose interest. We kind of lose the momentum in life in general. We drifted away, and as if our breakdown's really breaking us down to a point that we can't just see a breakthrough on the other side of life. Well, the Apostle Paul saw that the church in Galatia were started to giving up on doing good work for the Lord simply because they'd start getting tired. The struggles, the daily routine of life that was hard and challenging for them, they started to complain. They started to give up. They started to get weary in doing good things for the Lord, as if it seems like living a Christian life would start getting harder and harder for these people in the church in Galatia. And after exhorting the believers in Galatia and explaining to them all about the road signs, warning them of the things to watch out for and avoid that we read in Galatians chapter 5, leading up to chapter 6, verse 8. The Apostle Paul may have known that they would be feeling overwhelmed with living their Christian life and duty and task. So he encouraged them with the words of verse 9, chapter 6. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at a proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Another word Paul is saying, guys, don't give up. Just keep doing good things because a breakthrough is on your way. It is coming. Paul, perhaps better than anyone else, knew how wearing the spiritual battles can be, and he ended up his warning in this chapter about sin and the work of the flesh and the deceitfulness of the world by encouraging the Galatians and all the believers to remember there is a breakthrough. In his term, he said, remember the joyful harvest we will reap if we persevere in doing good. And later is verse 10, follow that. As we have opportunity, Paul says, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. We all know what it means to do good and not evil. And Paul had just summarized the works of the flesh, which are doing, you know, doing evil, and the fruit of the Spirit, which result in doing good in Galatians 5, chapter 19 and 16. Doing good involves yielding to the Spirit and exhibiting the fruit that He produces. And He listed the love, there's joy, there's peace, and there's patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. And the point that he wanted to make is this: when these things are dominant in our lives, when they dominate in our lives, doing good is the most inevitable results any Christian would expect. And folks, we need this exhortation today. We need it from the apostle not to grow weary in doing good, because according to Jesus, he said, watch and pray, because the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is not, is weak. And I want to pause there for a moment. I just want to thank you for those of you who have been on the 21 days challenge, prayer challenge. I hope that you had a growth and you had some changes in your prayer life in the last, you know, 21 days. And for those of you who had the opportunity to come to the house of prayer that was set here, I only get positive feedback from people to say how much they have grown. They really appreciate just engaging with God in that kind of space that was set up. And if you missed out, starting next month, every first Wednesday of the month, starting from next Wednesday, the 2nd of February, the house of prayer will be open for you to come and experience it. Every first Wednesday, keep your eyes out for more notices to come. And every other Wednesday, we're going to go back and continue praying online. And we're going to encourage you to keep joining us and let us keep praying. Folks, if there's ever a time that we needed to stay strong and spiritually well and alive, it is now. We're in a spiritual battle, and unless we keep our daily devotion, unless we keep meeting together, unless we keep worshiping like we do today, and unless we keep encouraging one another on a journey and know when to rest and persist in our prayers, when we find ourselves at a point of breakdown, the best intention for doing good can be easily derailed. Have you ever experienced that? Christian, I feel there is so much work to be done, and we cannot possibly do it all. There are so many needs, so many calls, our time, our energy, and finances, and there is often so much ingratitude among those we try to benefit that we can easily become exhausted and tired and disheartened in our own lives. Doing what's right is not easy in a fallen world, especially when it seems no one notices, and there's little recompense for all our troubles. And then we quietly ask ourselves, is it still worth serving the Lord? And Paul says, yes, it is. As Paul is saying to us today, do not give up, because the breakdown that you are facing now could be a setup for a breakthrough to come. You see, the point is, growing weary and doing good is an ever-present danger in a Christian life. Let me say that again. Growing weary in doing good is an ever-present danger in a Christian life. But you see, there are things that we can do to minimize and take away that weariness. Let me just do a recap of what we've learned in the last 4 Sundays. Pastor Deanna last week reminded us that Jesus scheduled time to rest, and we're reminded we need to take that rest. And then overcoming ourselves is the primary cause of weariness among Christians. So Pastor Justin just reminded us, when life's too busy and life is chaos, we need to take a detour to get to the point where we're going with God's guidance. We want so much to contribute, to respond to God's love by pouring ourselves into ministry for His sake, that we risk burning out. And Pastor Stan reminds us, the warning sign, be cautious take caution. And the last time I spoke, I reminded us all about yielding and planning, surrender, prayer, and lifting to God, because God determined the plan, not you and I. And sometimes all he really wants from the overcommitted is really to quieten their hearts and be still before the Lord. Because Paul, in this context, it seems to pointing us beyond and going past our labor to the prize at the end. Those who persevere in doing good are promised to reap rewards. And when become disheartened, the comforting presence of the Holy Spirit brings relief and gratitude to our hearts and glory to God. And just like the sower of seed must wait for the harvest, so is Christian life that we ought to wait for the rewards inevitably comes from the giver of all good things. 1 Corinthians 15, we will not give up because our Lord is faithful. Always give yourself fully to the Lord, work of the Lord, because you know that your labor is not in vain. One survivor in a Tongan disaster recently, an elderly man, about 57, 2 weeks ago, this elderly man was swept by the big waves in this little island called Adadai. You may have seen it on the news. And he got disconnected with the family, and he had about 7 p.m. on Saturday that week. Got lost and just floated and swim and floated and swim until 26 hours later, he found himself on the land and he survived. And he was in the view and he had a lot of things to say, but here's one thing that he said: you must never give up. Stop quitting. Never give up. Well, it was very easy for him to say because he did it. Never give up. You know, the Bible tells us not to get weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap if we do not give up. Folks, here's the challenge for you and I, is that to weather the storm before the breakthrough. This guy here, he didn't switch into panic mode. He stayed calm and he stayed the course, and then he overcome the challenge. Weather the storm. If we give up easily to the storm will take over. The challenge for you and I is to know that every mountaintop of victory will have valley. You know, many of us like to stay in the mountaintop. We don't want to be in the valley. You know, instead of facing it, and the greatest moment, you know, of victory, of being in a mountaintop, is when you've been in a valley and experienced what's it like. The challenge for you and I is that to know that in between victories are struggles. And if there's anyone who can testify to that, it's the S party. We know that she had many victories in the past. But in between victories, she has defeated. She's been waiting for this victory. But in between those victories, she struggled through. But she never gave up. The challenge for you and I is to know that in between breakthroughs are breakdowns and our battles. And before every new breakthrough, there is a harder battle that we have never fought before. Why? It's because there's usually a battle before the blessing. I heard one person say, I'm not broke, I'm just in between a blessing. I'm not broke, I'm just in that space and place. We know that Moses used to be a great deliverer, and Pastor Stan's going to kick off a new series, and we talk about how he led the people in wandering in the desert. But he was battling the big Pharaoh back in Egypt. We know that Nehemiah was used to rebuild the walls, but he battled his opposition. Joseph was used to mighty God, mighty of God, but he battled haters. Job was used a mighty man of faith, but he had to deal with grief of loss and losses and death. These men and many more men and women and story in the Bible we read of explain the fact that people experience breakthrough in their lives, but it started off with some breakdown in their lives. So if you're in a battle right now, let me say to you that there could be a good sign, because it could be setting up for a great big breakthrough to come in your life. There could be no triumph without being tried. We try and go through trials in order to get triumph. There could be no testimony without being tested. And so I know that many of you will have great story, great testimony because of what you've gone through. There could be no message without a mess in our lives. And there could be no resurrection that we've learned through our communion without the crucifixion. Are you with me? Our greatest battle comes right before our greatest breakthrough. Folks, I'm not just saying that for the sake of saying it. It's probably the easiest thing. But let's just keep going here, because I think it is important for you and I to know that the strength that we get is not born by seeing a miracle, but we get strength by going through the struggles. If I'm a tennis player, I don't become good by just watching Espari and others win a competition. If I'm a bodybuilder, I don't get my strength by just watching Pastor Justin just in the gym and doing his heavy weight lifting. I need to get to the struggle in order for me to find my strength. You know, I have to lift the weight myself to get stronger. And the only way I get stronger is in my struggle. And I need to fight the resistance and push the weights myself. And in the workout world, they call that what? Resistance training. Resistance training. And let's take a look at something really quick here, since we're talking about resistance training. Sometimes you and I may find ourselves in a situation that we have been praying for God. And after praying for a long time, things don't seem to change. Now, what do we do when we prayed about it and the situation stayed the same? Well, what I have noticed is whenever my kids will go to their gym at home and do their lifting and stuff and on a treadmill, what I've noticed is that the gym doesn't change. The treadmill doesn't change. What changes is the person is doing the exercise. Maybe that's how it is in our spiritual realm. If we've been praying for God to change the situation and it doesn't change, maybe God wants you and I to change. Maybe you've been praying for a financial breakthrough and the finance doesn't seem to come through. Maybe God is equipping us and training us to trust and keep faithful and wait on Him. Maybe we've been praying for someone to change because we don't like their attitude. Maybe God teaches. I mean, to love unconditionally. Maybe we've been praying for a new job because we don't like the one we have, but that didn't happen. Maybe God is teaching us to learn Christian contentment. The weights in the gym don't change, and the treadmill doesn't change, but those who use it does. And if we are honest, I think we could all admit that we all have grown the most when things were uncomfortable. For those who know, I had COVID in the last 2 weeks. Any excitement? I had COVID. I had symptoms. I tested positive. And there's two sides to the story. The first one is, it was horrible. For those of you who heard it, you know what I'm talking about. I coped that really badly. I was in bed for 7 days, and even after 7 days, it continues. So if I keep coughing, I'm still in quiet recovery. But it was hard. It was bad. And I gave it to my family and say, hey, I got it. Let's share it. I gave it to the whole household of 5 adults. Lucky God gave us 1 not to have it and 2 little children. And my family are here today. Yeah. Many times in my room, it felt so dark that I almost just sing that song. I was in there and I would just keep echoing and just saying it aloud and quietly. Lord, even though it looks like I'm walking in the valley of death, shadow of death, I will not fear evil. for your youth with me and your rotten staff with my comfort. And I just keep going over and over. It seems like that I'm in the valley. It's so dark. But Lord, I will not fear evil. So I'm sort of quieted on that one. A bit louder in the first one, but I will not fear evil. I will not fear evil. I will not fear evil. And I just keep singing that song, but that's how it felt like. But then there was another side to the story. You know, I've been in worse scenario in my life before. I had colon flu, and I was out of action for weeks and months. And this is nothing compared to that one, even though I find it hard. You know, my whole family, they did it with mild, and some of them, they didn't really feel anything. Thank God. But here's the best thing. COVID helped me to lose at least 10 kilos. Yeah. So whoever gave me COVID, thank you so much. I wish I could hug you, give you a hug and say thank you because I lost 10 kilos. I wouldn't be able to do that in 2 weeks. It also helped me to heal my cellulitis. Remember last time, Dr. Phil, I was sitting on here, I was not well. I had cellulitis, and Dr. Phil said, you need to sit on the chair, and I obey that and sit there. Here I am walking, and I'm just about to dance, but I thought, it's healing. You know, I've learned more about, you know, life and learned more about COVID, and there's so much resilience that I had to build into my life, and so is my family. You know, I don't say, please don't get me wrong, I'm not saying to go find someone's COVID and pay them some money to give it to you so that you see some great breakthrough. But hey, what I'm saying is that it's not just about COVID. It's that when we are in the battlefield, when we go through the valley, watch out because God could be setting up some breakthrough to come. And that's the point I just want to make. Experience a breakthrough in life. Sometimes we have to get to the valley and go through the battlefield. And let me say it again. I think it's important for you and I to know that strength is not born by seeing miracles, but we get strength by going through the struggle. And the strength that you and I need in order to get into our promise is in the struggle. You know, the Tongan people have gone through such a really dark time. In fact, I went into a quarantine, and on the next day, you know, the news from Tonga, and it was just so heavy and hard. These people went through such a hard time, volcano eruption, and Tongan people stayed together, and they keep on praying. And only this week, they had a massive breakthrough of rain that washes a lot of ashes from the roof and the trees and on the road. And if you see Tonga now, it's a lot more greener. It's almost back to normal. The challenge for you and I is not to give up in the struggle. Maybe you are believing for a family member to get healed and get better. Keep believing. Maybe you are believing for a son and daughter to get saved. Just keep believing. Maybe you are believing for God for some financial breakthrough or a new promotion or whatever it is. Just keep believing. The Bible says if we don't give up, we will reap the harvest. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 and 36, it says this word, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly awarded and rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. One person put it like this, get happy and you see spiritual contention in your life. And it means that you are on the verge of getting a breakthrough or a promotion. The challenge for you and I is to remember there's usually a battle before the breakthrough. On a morning, my wife received a positive test. I can tell you, it was so tough mentally. All throughout those nearly 2 years, she's working in aged care. She's doing all she can to try and avoid bringing COVID into our house. And to receive such a notice, and I felt so bad because I got the plane. I did all I can to try and protect, not bringing even to those two little children, grandchildren, 15 months and 3 weeks. And here we are. I got that positive. She was really down. She didn't want to talk to anyone. She locked herself in the room. Then I got a text from him from the other room saying, I've got a job interview this morning, later this morning. I just don't want to do it. It seemed that she lost the momentum. She lost the interest. After all, we've been praying since I started here that God will provide a job for her nearby. So this doesn't travel all the way to Essendon. Anyway, she came back and she changed her mind. Something happened. And she said, I'll just do the interview anyway. And we both sit in front of the computer. And the interviewer keep asking questions. And at the end, she said, you know, Anne, if you like, I'm going to give you the full-time job right now. Yeah. Anne was crying. She didn't cry because she had COVID. She cried, she got a job, a dream job. And they gave a full-time job instead of half-time. And you know what the best thing? It's only 5 minutes away from home. Yeah. Even closer than me. Even closer. I'm jealous. Even when you're in the valley. And I'm not saying that, you know, this is the same with everyone else. But watch out for what God can do when you're in the valley. And stay faithful, because he will surprise you. Anne's life changed after that. She said, oh, hurry up, COVID. She didn't end up COVID badly. But it was one of those things that, talking about a breakthrough that comes rightly when you find yourself in the valley. You see, God wants to take you and I from strength to strength, from victory to victory, and from glory to glory. And it's all about what we do in between that give us the outcome to go into the next level. It's about what we do in the between of glory to glory. What happened inside, that's where the battle begins. But it's between glory and glory that we find ourselves, that we are reminded and encouraged. It's about what we do in that space that determines where we go. That do is where the battle takes place. You know, it's a job of the enemy is to discourage you to stay in that valley. But God say, hey, the mountaintop is yet to come. Keep an eye for that. If we can just get through the two, that then we'll be all right. This morning we may feel things are breaking up, but I'm here to tell you that things are breaking through. The Bible says in Psalm 31, for his anger lasts only for a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. And it is the job of the enemy to get us to surrender during the weeping, the night, so they will never experience the joy. And be careful that you don't miss out on the joy in the morning. You know, morning is not necessarily a time of the day, but it's when you and I wake up to realize it's the kind of difficult to fight for breaking through in this generation, because we're so used to getting things right anyway. Today's culture is fast food. It's easily fixed. They can lead us to being impatient individual and give up easily. But sometimes we might even get the attitude, if we have to battle for it or wait for it, it is not of God. But what we need is a generation that is willing to fight for the breakthrough like David. And I want to finish with that story. The giant tried to discourage David, you know, with his words. But you know the story. Before David was able to go to the next level as a king, he has to, at this level in his life, fight a battle. David's next level didn't come without a battle. We read in 1 Psalm 17, 39, David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to it. I cannot go in peace, he said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off. Have you noticed it? God used what was tested in David's life to defeat the giant. That is, it was David's slingshot that defeated the giant. It was not Saul's armor. Because you see, sometimes we often lean on someone else's experience and story, their struggles and their victories, instead of just reflecting on our own potential. We listen to the latest advice on how to defeat and defeat our struggles, and not looking deeply at the potential, our own victories, our own defeat that we've gone through in the past. God gave it to you before. And I know we all sit here and account for many victories in the past. So instead, we're looking for someone else. No, we need to look in to what God has planted in our life and test in our life. And the lesson that we can learn from David is this. When you and I get strong and use what we have to win victory over smaller battles, then it will make us stronger and more skillful to use the same thing to get the victory in larger battle. Amen. God used the area that had been tested and tried in David's life to defeat the giant of the next level. God is about to use the same area in your life where you have had the biggest battles and biggest testing to bring about one of your biggest breakthroughs yet to come. Folks, be encouraged. Church and friends, as we go into this year, as we keep our eyes on the road signs, as we keep our eyes on Jesus, as we keep our eyes focused ahead, as we keep on doing good and never keep up, whenever we find ourselves in the unprecedented breakdown events in our life, here's the message: never give up. Because the battle that you may be facing could just be a setup to your greatest victory. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you. We've been singing this morning that you are our way maker, the miracle healer. You never, never stop working to bring the greatest breakthrough into our lives. We've been singing worship songs that talk about the fact that there is no valley that you will not find. So you're not going, you can't get there. There's no mountaintop that you can't get there. Going after the sheep. And we pray, Lord, as we go into this next year, we go full of confidence, knowing that whenever we have a breakdown in a journey, we expect a breakthrough. Because you have promised that we will reap the harvest if only we never give up. So, Father God, bless our heart and our soul. Bless your church as we journey ahead with that joy of knowing that our lives are in your hand. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.